The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again. Fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Another Crab Feast for that ass. What was that? A reset in the middle of the
day. I literally thought while we were doing that, I'm like, I'm going to try circular breathing. I bet I could do that because that's just probably a skill that anyone could do. I couldn't.
Found out the easy way.
Glad to be here with you, Sickle Cell.
Glad to be here, Jay Larson.
Glad to be here with you, Feaster Nation. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncom, and all social media. The Rabbit Hole every Wednesday at Meltdown Comics. If you're in town, get your tickets ahead of time. Louis C.K. popped in two weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
Ryan Sickler popped in last week.
Yes,
always,
I did.
Always great shows. Please come down and support. It's really fun what we're doing over there. Also, I put out a digital album last year, about 5 months ago, and now the vinyl is ready and available. It's on my website. It's on my social media. If you're into vinyl, you listen to it, or you just like collecting comedy albums, and or you just need like a giant coaster for like, you know, mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving.
Perfect for that.
Get my album. Dave Clock did the artwork. My brother did the layout. Really proud of it. So please check that out at jlarsoncomedy.com. Appreciate y'all. Sickle Cell?
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Thank you guys for having me last week, actually. I'm looking at you.
There's
nobody
you.
Else.
I'm looking around. Get on in here. Sickle's going to be thankful.
Thecrabfeast.com. Make sure you pick up your merch there. Thank you for buying merch and wearing it and supporting the feast. It's always great to see you guys out there and rocking it. And thank you again. Amazon. Use that link, y'all. Premium apps are there for your listening pleasure. And make sure you follow The Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. Got another great sponsor back this week. Lost my name. I tell you, you're going to remember their name. I promise you that. I tell you all the time, man, story time at bedtime is the best thing. It's such a lot of fun. My daughter and I sit there. Stella laughs. She's smart. She retains stuff. It's pretty impressive when something you made is that intelligent. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of you read books to your kids, but imagine how excited they would be if the book you were reading was all about them. With books from lostmy.name, you get exactly that and more. Each child's adventure is based on the letters of their name, making every story unique to the child. I did one for Stella, and it's got this whole adventure through, there's an octopus and a rhino. I mean, there's so many different things. It's so well done. They're hand-drawn illustrations on every page, bringing the personalized book to life. It's made by you for your child. The book literally does not exist until you press the button. Each child can follow the letters of their name through the book to discover the stories all about them. It's more magical than a typical personalized book that just simply inserts a child's name throughout a generic story. It's a great personalized gift. You want to look good for birthdays or baby showers, you want to be the hero of the party, I'm telling you, that's an original gift that no one else is probably going to have.
Gotta just save the chop. This dude bought a book.
Lost My Name also offers other one-of-a-kind personalized products that can be made by you in just minutes. Go to www.lostmy.name and enter your little one's name for a free preview of their story. Enter code CRABFEAST to check out to get 10% off your order. Shipping is free worldwide, so don't wait to get your child their own personalized bedtime story. Visit www.lostmy.name today.
Another great sponsor we've been working with this whole year, Blue Apron. Ryan and I have both been using Blue Apron since
Blue
this partnership,
Apron.
And they're fantastic. The number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Some interesting things. I mean, we've told you before that Blue Apron has partnerships with local farms and fisheries and ranches across the country, which is amazing because the seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnerships with Monterey Bay Aquarium, Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals, which is all great things. All great things. But the thing that I really enjoy, because I cook at home for the family mostly, because honestly, I'm just better in the kitchen than Kate is.
There it is.
You know what I mean?
There it is.
Cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research has shown that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. Because the thing is, when you buy it and it's there, you're like, oh, that's the stuff that goes with this meal and that meal. You just will cook. You're not going to order out. So it's great for families. It's also great if you're just a single guy at home and you're ordering food. Boom, sickle cell,
dude. I can't, like, going to Costco and all these places is a thing families do, but when you're a single parent, you have to overbuy.
Quick,
it
yeah.
goes bad so fast. I mean, I can't eat all those.
So Blue Apron gives you that option. You can get for
That's
four
right.
or for two. So if you're buying for two, you eat that night, you get leftovers the next day.
And you waste nothing, including money.
Yes. And there are certain things that you have your go-tos that you cook and you buy. But the thing with Blue Apron is I'm now getting to be like a way better cook. So this week, roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad. I don't really have ever really gotten into farro or know how to cook it. Sick, dude. I had another one that had fennel. We killed it, and Kate's like, oh, my God, these are unbelievable. I'm like, I know.
They're great. They're great.
We had the in-laws in town. I cooked up two for me and Joe had one. Kate and Gene had the other, and then I cooked for the kids. I mean, it was a lot to do with. I was cooked six meals that were different. But I think they're so fantastic, and I love them. Not all ingredients are great. Created equal. Fresh. I'm so excited. I can't even talk, y'all. Here's the deal. Blue Apron, it's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with the pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals, which is exactly what you're saying. You're not over-wasting anything because it's all right there. And for $10 a meal, what do you spend when you go out to a restaurant?
Exactly.
Variety. You choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Fantastic. Flexible. Customize your recipes each week and the number that you want for a week, or you can take a week off if you need to. I don't know why you would unless you're going out of town. Easy, because it's right there, 30 minutes, step by step. It gives it to you. Guaranteed. Blue Apron's freshness. Guaranteed promise that every ingredient is your delivery, arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Here's the deal. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping.
Come on.
By going to blueapron.com/crabfeast. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/crabfeast. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Tell you, better way to do a podcast with this week's guest. You know what I mean?
Digging deep there, man.
You know what I'm saying, son? But we have been trying to get this guy on the podcast for a long, long time, and we're excited
that is the truth.
To finally get him on. Hilarious actor and writer, and some surprise. Well, you'll hear about it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time on the Crab Feast, probably the last, Nat Faxon, everybody! Welcome to the Crab Feast!
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much. Why are we all yelling?
You're the only... I see the improv back. You see him jumping with the clap.
Yes, and it right away with the clap.
I took
the volume, took the energy.
You know guys, I'm listening right now. I'm making eye contact.
Mm-hmm. You're doing space work over there.
I'm making
what are you building?
Just a building a place to build, to make soups.
A soup
I guess,
stand?
Yeah, people call it a kitchen, but
soups.
I like a soup stand.
I only eat soups.
Soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, it is a pleasure to finally have you on here. Jay's not kidding. It took a while, but we're glad you stuck with us and came on today.
I'm happy to be here. I just want to say it was well worth the wait.
Well, I mean, we haven't even started yet. Let's see.
For me,
it was worth the wait.
Okay, perfect.
TBD on your end.
Well, before we get into anything, please feel free to plug your social media, anything you have going on, shows, movies, whatever you'd like.
Okay, fantastic. Do I start listening to them now? Guys, I got to take this as Judy Greer's
calling
me.
I see that, you son of a bitch. Hollywood!
I'm gonna, I'm going to let her. Yeah. Hey, Judy. I'm just doing a podcast.
Judy
right
Greer,
now.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, girl. You know what? Hang on a second. You ain't gonna believe it.
Oh, Judy Greer, get in here, girl.
It's called the
Put
Crab
her on speaker, man.
Wait, hold on.
She's gonna. I mean,
okay, you're on now.
Oh, I'm on a podcast.
You sure are, yeah, Judy. Officially. Welcome to the Crab Feast, girl.
That's so cool.
People are ecstatic. People are ecstatic that.
Can of chili I'm eating.
Oh, you're eating a can of chili?
Yeah, I'm eating a can of chili, and it made me think of you.
Oh, well, maybe you can make a kitchen for her chili.
Oh, man, he's a soup guy, yeah. But chili's cool.
Why did it make you? Why did chili make you think of me?
I don't know.
Because of my farting?
You don't fart.
Oh, see, that's sweet. I do, but I don't do it around you.
Judy, thanks so much for coming on.
Judy, should I call you back?
No, why
don't
you call me back, Matt?
Okay, I'll call you back after this.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Guys.
Bringing his own guests. I like it.
Sorry, I just had to do that quick timeout with Judy.
I like it, man. Judy Greer, I mean, well, let's...
give her a shout out.
Yeah, you can... I mean,
she
you
on
can
Twitter?
Always...
She's on Twitter, yeah. She,
at Judy Greer?
Probably.
I don't. That doesn't sound like a common name.
No. But she's got enough followers.
A lot of people didn't know that she and Pam were sisters, which is crazy.
It is
I mean?
Crazy.
In Hollywood.
You would not think that.
You would not think that. Different dads.
They did a lot of the same movies, too, though.
Same dad, different moms.
Is it moms?
Yeah, it's moms. Love their movies together.
So wait, you have a new series coming out on Netflix?
I have a new series, yes, on Netflix called Friends from College. It's about friends from college, guys. Yeah.
Groundbreaking title,
yeah.
Huh?
Is that the elevator pitch right there?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Great.
I sold that in the room.
In the waiting room.
I sold it in the elevator. No, it's a really fun show that'll be on Netflix probably in the summer or sometime 2017. I don't actually know.
But right on.
That's my guess. Nick Stoller and his wife Francesca wrote and directed. He directed. They wrote them together with a bunch of other very talented writers. And we did 8 episodes in New York this past fall, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Shooting in New York?
Yeah, it was solid.
Nothing better than going to New York City when you don't have to live there, but you can be there for an extended period of time.
Yeah, it was really fun. I felt like a lot of pressure, though, because there's so much good stuff there that you feel like you can't waste any night or minute doing something that's kind of lame. Like, you have to, you know.
Yeah.
I was exhausted because I never really, like, all I wanted to do was lie on the couch and just do nothing.
Yeah.
But instead.
Did you bring the fam?
No, my family stayed.
Unbelievable.
I know.
The peace and tranquility.
Oh, man.
How many kids
do you drugs.
Have?
I have 3 children.
3? Wow.
3 kids, yep.
How old?
My daughter's going to turn 9 on Monday, January 30th. Mm-hmm. And
she's an Aquarius, just like me, man.
Yeah, man.
February 3rd, right around the corner, whatever.
Why are you doing that weird thing with your hand when you said that?
I just kept shaking it off, you know?
And then my son, Otis, is 6, and my daughter...
Like the tractor, man.
Yeah, man. Like the elevator, too.
Yeah, just like that elevator. Yeah.
And then my youngest daughter, B, is 3.5.
Yeah.
Don't forget the half.
No, you can't.
Do not forget the half.
That's great.
Yeah. So they stayed in L.A., and I went to New York and shot this show.
Who's your favorite out of the 3?
On the show?
No, of the children.
Oh, man. I don't know. Right now,
feeling
it's just,
B. I'm feeling B
it just
right now.
It changes every minute.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
It just depends on how much shit I'm getting from them.
Get that wild card. Rye's got 1, I got 2, you got 3.
Bam. Guys.
Equilibrium, man.
This is already working out. I'm already killing this podcast.
But the other thing that I wanted to mention, because, you know, you came on Best Bars when I was doing Best Bars. That's where we met.
Yeah.
And
you might have heard, you might remember the story on the live Aisha Tyler podcast when she was sauced up and gave you shit about it. Remember?
Oh, yeah. She got wrecked.
People, did everybody get wrecked? Because I got annihilated that night.
You were, you know when I knew you.
No, I'm sorry. She came on our live pod after drinking and was busting Jay's balls about not being on the San Francisco episode. And he said, the reason was because you were on there. And so she started.
She wanted to be on it. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, your producers wouldn't have me on it. They told me blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is my first time meeting her. I'm like, all right, dial back. I go, we're just meeting. And she had been.
Oh, really? That's your first time?
That was the first
time. I didn't know that.
And she had just come from a whiskey tasting.
No, we did a podcast. You and I had her on early on out of her office out in the valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she showed. Remember, she had been doing a whiskey tasting, so she already came banged up. But this is. Let me tell you how banged up
she
Matt Faxon was doing Best Bars.
Oof.
We do the whole thing, right? We're done, and we just had to do like a couple quick pickups, and they were like, you know, Nat's okay to go, and the bars are empty. We're just sitting in there, and I come in, and we're like, I'm just talking to one of the producers, and I turn around, and here's this clown still got a cocktail. I go, hey, what are you doing? And he's just blitz like, nah, like making jokes with his drink. I'm like, man. Fucking ready
I was
to go.
Really.
This is, you know why? Because we shot at, did we shoot at two bars that night?
Three. I would say.
Okay, three. But this clown, we shoot at the first one. Now, Sean and I already know what we're doing because we've been shooting the show.
Yeah.
So we're in between bars waiting for them to set up. And he goes, hey, should we go to that bar and grab a drink? And I was just like, well, you don't get what this show is.
Yeah.
We do not need to go to that bar right now.
I did not. I mean, it was the different combinations of alcohol that, because like it was that first one. It was like, we're going to introduce this homemade brandy that we make in-house. And it was like, oh, all right, cool. Yeah. And then. The next spot was like, you know, craft beer. And then the third spot was like, hey, this is like we're known for our whiskey punches, you know?
That's
and they're
right.
Like, here's some like punch with fruit in it. And I was like, oh my God. The next morning I woke up.
That's what I would say to him all the time. Like, I don't know how I could get it if you broke up the segments and you were doing wine at all the bars, but theirs is like, here's this specialty drink that's got 14 different kinds of fucking alcohol in it. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know how you kept mixing that up.
No,
that.
I woke up. That was as hungover as I've been.
Yeah.
I was in rough shape and I had to get on a flight and didn't think I was
going
to make
it. They just popped him up for one night when he was doing Married, right? He was promoting Married.
Yeah, I think so.
But like that was the first time we had met, and then I'm like, when they told me you were coming, I'm like, oh, this fucking dude? I'm like, this guy from Ben and Kate? I got close on Ben and Kate. And you got it. I'm like, who's this fucking guy?
I know.
And then the way back, I fell in love with that movie, which you wrote and directed and starred in.
Yeah.
With Jim
Rash.
It's
a great movie. Jay was like, you have to go watch that fucking movie.
Oh,
I love
it. Thank you,
guys. Oh, dude, I love it.
But when he got drunk doing Best Bars, all he kept talking about was how he won the Oscar for Descendants. Just wouldn't stop. So first Oscar winner on the Crab
first
Feast.
First
right
Oscar
here.
Winner guys. On the Crab Feast. Yes, first Oscar winner on the Crab Feast.
I mean, we
sure
gotta talk.
Congrats, man.
Yeah.
What the? I mean,
yeah, it was
walk
crazy.
Us through that shit.
It was insane. I mean, you don't really know. You don't
Can
really
ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Do you know going into it if you're winning?
No.
Night of, they don't even give you a heads up.
Do you think the actors are that good in this town, the reactions
I think
you get?
Some of them know.
No, you don't know.
I think some of them get tipped off.
I didn't know. I honestly didn't know where we stood because early in the whole
they were like,
awards.
Tell somebody, give Bill Paxton a heads up that he's winning this thing, man. They're like, what?
the awards season is so long.
Yeah.
And you go to a lot of different things. And then we weren't winning a lot. Early on, so I was sort of like, oh, I guess maybe we're not, you know, we're just happy to be here.
But I mean, the fact, I mean, how many people are writing the screenplay for that was nominated for Best Picture?
So,
I mean, you got to know at that point, you're like, you're in the mix. I mean, that changes your life, right? Like, when did that hit? Like, you wrote it. Did you know it was going to be something super special?
No, I mean, we wrote it, it was right around, right before the writer's strike. Remember that big writer's strike or whatever in the WGA? It was right around then because I remember we handed in our first draft, literally the night before the strike. And then we had to wait, whatever that was, 100 days, 3 months before we could get any notes on it. So it was a long process that sort of went over a year and a half, 2 years of writing it and doing different drafts. And this director, Stephen Frears, was going to do it at one point. And then what ended up happening was Alexander Payne's other movie, which actually he's going to now come out with soon, called Downsizing, was sort of having trouble going, and he really was eager to jump into something. And so it just, the timing worked out where his other movie kind of fell apart. This thing was ready to go. And so he jumped aboard, and then they got Clooney to do it. And then all of a sudden you were sort of like, oh wow. Alexander Payne's going to direct it and George Clooney's going to be in it.
I mean, come on.
You know, that's really good. You don't know that it's going to travel the distance, but you sort of feel good. And then, you know, he did such an amazing job with the film and comes out great. And then you sort of feel like, oh, we might have a shot. But then all those award shows, you sort of like, we were losing out to like Moneyball and all these things. And so you just sort of felt like, all right, well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe we're just sort of like being recognized, but it might not happen.
Let me ask you this. As a kid.
Yeah.
Or in life, how many times have you practiced an Oscar acceptance speech, like in the shower or somewhere, knowing that you want to
get
this?
I would say upwards of 10,000.
Okay, good. Because, I mean, that's what you do. You're in the shower, you're just getting emotional, getting yourself worked up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the people that I have to thank have definitely changed over the years, you know?
Yeah.
It started early with just pets, and then it moved into sibling, you know, and then now it's no one but myself.
Yeah, nice.
I'm just kidding.
Did you have a speech written that night?
No, it was funny because Alexander, we were at the Writers Guild Awards, and he basically sort of said, why don't you guys take the reign here, and then if we are lucky enough to win at the Oscars, I'll take the reign. But we had also gotten like a letter and the speech from the Academy that basically said, like, if there are more than one people winning, designate one person to speak. So,
but you all went up. The three of you went up.
Three of us went up.
Okay, so you did get the. All right. So wait, can I?
Yeah.
Rewind here a little bit.
Yeah,
I want to
know
night of. So you're there.
Yeah. So we're there. I'm
best
sitting
picture
in the seat.
Is the last thing
you
that
meet
goes.
The girl outside. You have sex inside. Then what?
Then after that, I go back to my seat, clean myself up, and change my tux, and then. No, we are. That's, yeah, you're sitting there and you have a program, so you know what like categories are coming.
But
up.
You're also the last of the whole entire thing, right?
Well, ours was best adapted screenplay.
Oh, okay.
Best picture, we weren't.
Oh,
guys,
you know,
I'm sorry.
Hey, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, we can wrap this up.
Guys,
this
I'm great. So sorry.
We thought it was original. I forgot that it was a book for.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I feel like a dick.
So where is best adapted before?
Well, hold on. Can we see? Can you get Judy back? I mean,
yeah,
I think maybe
Judy.
Give Judy.
Let me dial her real quick. She was there. She was sitting right. Actually, a few.
She was
seats,
in it.
Few seats away from me. Yeah, that night.
Was Clooney at your table?
No, there's not at the Oscars. There's not tables. Yeah, I don't know if you know that.
I've never.
Yeah,
I've seen.
It's Golden Globes that has the tables.
Seat fillers, man. They have seat fillers at the Oscars.
They do have seat fillers. Yeah, that would be a good gig, wouldn't it?
Kramer had it.
There were weird people that do that.
Very weird.
Really weird people. Anyway, so we're sitting in the seat, and you see your categories coming up, and you start getting nervous, and then it was Angelina Jolie that was announcing the awards.
Who was up against you guys?
It was Moneyball, and then a bunch of other films.
Yeah. But Moneyball was a big, I mean,
that
movie
was huge.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great one with a great cast.
Yeah,
it's tough.
And written by, like, unbelievable writers.
Sorkin, well, that was
Sorkin, and what's his name?
Oh my god,
Z, Stephen, the guy that did
Zimmer.
The whole Night of series.
Of course.
He's fantastic
HBO
writer.
Yeah,
Zildjian, Steve Zildjian.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a
he's
symbol
the
maker. Yeah,
symbol maker.
Symbol
turn writer.
No, but I just remember like mouthing, you know, like having a mantra in my head of like, it's okay if we don't win. It's okay if we don't win. Like, it's okay.
Son of a bitch!
Yes, it's exactly what it was.
Are you cognizant too that there's a camera sitting on you while you're
hit
and you can't react or anything?
And so you're trying to be cool and mellow, but you're inside just like, I don't want to lose.
How close is that camera? Like, is he
it's
just
like,
right
you're, I was sitting on the aisle. And so it was like,
kneeling next to
literally
you.
Kneeling right there. And then you're
lean
like,
back.
Oh my
lean
God.
Back.
Oh my God. And I just wanted, I was looking at her lips, just like if she was going to say us, it was going to be Alexander's name first, you know? So all I was just, it was like, Ali.
Is the pause she takes to open that envelope up just excruciating?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And then I was just like on cloud nine.
And did you stay in your wheelhouse? Like you act like you've been there before? Were you guys high five?
I was like, definitely like. Like deer in headlights. But then Jim did that whole, you remember my writing partner, Jim Rash, did that whole like, he did the whole leg, Angelina Jolie leg thing.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
Angelina Jolie wore this like incredibly like revealing kind of like sexy slit dress that was like all the way up her leg. And then she would like sort of, for photographs, she would kind of come out and she would like put her leg out so that it was like her bare leg.
Good
and
Lord.
It was very, it was like, you couldn't help but just stare at it. But it was very, like, pronounced kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a definite pose. And so when we got up on stage, Jim accepted the award and then did the pose, like, front and center. And
And then there was like a silence of like, what is he doing? And then everybody caught on and started like laughing really hard. And then I looked over and was like, oh my God, what a dick. He didn't tell me he was going to do that, you know? So then I tried to do it too, but I sort of half-assed it. Like I didn't fully commit. And then it just looked me like I was standing awkwardly, like with my legs open and my dick out. Like, great pose, Jim. Like not really doing it either.
Your wife's at home like, what the hell is he
doing? Why is he doing it? Why is he standing that way? So, but it was awesome. I mean, I remember just flipping out. Like,
did you sneak by the mic and give one of them, love you guys? Did you get one of those like some people do when they tell you?
I didn't. I was just so happy and I didn't care. And that thing is like amazing. Like it's like a golden ticket. Like you just, you can go to anything. You can go into any place. You know, you're just carrying around that night. Like, and they're like, yeah, I'm sorry. You're not on the list. You know, we have 12 people. You know, you have 12 people in your SUV. And then you like roll down the window and they're like, yeah, come on in. Sorry. We didn't mean to, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it's really awesome. Although that worked all the way up until the end of the night.
Does that say best adapted stream? Sorry, man. We're not going
to. Yeah, no, it worked all the way up until the end of the night when we tried to go to like this late night, like Madonna party or something. Or it was like some huge, like massive, like celebrity party, and it was like way up in the hills, and so like had the same interaction, like we're closed down for the night, guys, you know, it's not gonna happen. And then I rolled down the window, I was like, does this change anything? And then they were like, yeah, it's still closed, guys, I'm sorry, it's really
nah, man.
Yeah, the material girl don't give a fuck about your goddamn Oscar,
they're like, we don't know who you are.
If you'd have rolled down the window with a fingerless glove, they'd be like, you guys can come on in, man, come on.
I know.
So really, they don't. There's no wrangler. You have to hold that fucking thing and take it with you all night. What happens if you lose it?
Well, there you see a lot of people and they want to hold it. Like it's like they want to take a picture. Yeah. They want to hold it. And there was like, I remember at this, I think Vanity Fair party, and these Italian dudes were like, you know, like all they wanted to do was hold the thing. And they were like taking it around and like showing it to their friends, and then you kind of feel like you're
hang on a second.
Yeah, you're like, guys, I just, yeah, if I could just get that back, you would just maybe one more picture, you know, like, and they're like, no, one more. Yeah, look at me. And they're just like, and then you're like, man. Oh my God.
That's a sturdy statue, is it not? It's got weight to it, doesn't it?
It's heavy.
And is your name on it too, like a trophy?
Yeah, your name's on it. Your name's on it, and on every person, it's like if there are three people, yours has your name first, whereas like Jim's will say his name first and then ours afterwards.
Oh, man. Oh, really?
Yeah, but they do it at the governor's ball. They like put it in right there, so you don't. It's not.
That's what I was going to ask. They don't pre-make them.
They don't pre-make them. No, you get a blank thing, and then when you go to the governor's ball, I think that was the first year they were doing
it. Is that the same night?
Usually
the
they had to
ball?
Mail them back or something, and then they would mail it to you. But
on your dime, that fucking break the bank, man.
But the governor's ball that year, they finally figured out like they could do it like on site, and so like they have your plaque and they just drill it in, and then it's,
listen,
you know,
man, I got a guy that does fucking rice names real small down in Venice. He's gonna come up here and just print these up right now for you.
I mean, you won't be
ever
see
that, your name on a grain of rice.
Yeah. I never really get that.
Who does?
Wow.
Who wants your name on a fucking grain of rice? Know. You know where you want it? On a goddamn Oscar statue.
That is.
I brought that guy some basmati. He couldn't do it.
Really?
It's too small, man.
You got to go a brorio.
Like a quinoa.
You got to go risotto style.
Where is it now?
Yeah,
it's in my house. I don't have any great like story for where it is. It's just like sitting in my house.
It's on a mantle? Or
Yeah. But I don't, it's like.
What's next to it? Please say you got like a high school fucking trophy or something,
like
right
a
next
kid's
to
drawing
it.
From class.
My JV hockey. Yeah.
Hey, any trophy's a good trophy.
Yeah, man, you got to keep all that shit.
I got rid of all my trophies.
Did you?
I did. I did a photo shoot with them, and then I said, "See you to the past." Yep, yeah. Just put them out there. I think
see you to the past, man.
They're Goodwill somewhere.
What do you do? I was thinking about that. I have this like, it's like a box in my garage, and it's called like memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with all that stuff?
When you die, someone else has to throw it away.
I know.
That's really what fucking happens.
Exactly.
They'll go through them like, I want these two things, and the rest of this shit he really cared about, but fucking get rid of it.
But do you feel like, in my mind, I feel like there's going to be like a museum that's going to be like, they're going to need all this memorabilia stuff, and it's like, nobody's going to want any of that shit.
None of it. I had an audition today for a guy who's like a has-been in a town who like still wears his varsity jersey around, and I said to my wife, I'm like, I still have my college baseball jersey.
Yeah.
I go, I'm wearing that. So this morning I get up, I'm stoked, I'm looking all over for it, can't find it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I threw it out. Like I just was like not holding on to the past, and this is the one time I could have used it.
Yeah.
No mas.
No, I don't know. I have all bunch of shit that I got to get rid of.
I mean, do you? I have my Little League District 13 championship and town championship jacket, and I still have it, and I want my kids to wear it.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Jason 14 on the sleeve.
Yeah.
Big ink stain here from a pen that broke loose in fifth grade. Yeah.
I wish I still had all my tees and all that stuff from when I played sports, but I moved so much that shit got, who knows.
You held on to them trophies, though.
For a while.
And you brought them out here.
Brought him out.
What does that say? He was like, on this move, I'm going to have to bring these trophies with me. So you brought them with you.
I used to do shit like my grandmom, well, both my grandmothers at the time would give me little shit like pocket Bibles.
Uh-huh.
And because twofold, one, because it's my grandmother, and uh-huh. two, it's a Bible. I would always feel bad about getting rid of it or whatever. But then one day I was just like, fuck it. And I just started getting rid of a lot of shit like that.
Was this before or after you let your grandmother die?
This was after she slipped away. Okay. Yeah, after she. I remember I was telling you off mic. I'm two for three. That was the one.
Got it.
Every time I go through old stuff and donate it or get rid of it or sell it or whatever, it always literally opens up room in my life for other things to come in. And I'm big on every few years going through and be like, all right, I don't need this shit. Now, I mean, obviously a suit or something like that or ski, you know, ski shit I keep. But other than that, if I'm not using it, I get rid of it.
I love like when someone's
out of snowboard.
But he's given the specific, you know, like I'll throw it, but I'll keep like a ski shirt.
A ski shirt.
One of these like one of my Mazers or one of my like gaiters that goes over my jeans onto my boot.
I
keep those.
Yeah, hold on to them. Never know.
No, I hear you. I got to get rid of stuff. I got too much crap in my garage.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
We rent. We only have 1/3 of the entire like garage. It's like a 3-stall.
Yeah.
And we're packed to the gill. Yeah. I mean, like packed. And I'm like, I go through though, and I'm like, what do I get rid of? And this shit that I haven't used in like 4 years, I'm like, I can't get rid of that.
I know.
What if there's a good chance we're going to use that?
I know.
As soon as you get rid of it, the next day you're going to need that. You're like, God damn.
I know.
Clearly, like number 18, St. Anselm Hawks, baby. What?
I don't know how you get rid of those Bibles, though. That would scare me.
It wasn't hard.
That would scare me.
I got over it.
He left
God
a long time ago.
I didn't throw them out. I donated.
You threw them out, and then you were stabbed.
I took
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you, too, staying in the movies right now. Can we talk about The Way, Way Back?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
It's such a good movie. I hadn't heard of it, and Jay's like, Ryan, I've watched it. I think at the time, seriously, you had said like 6 or 7 times you'd seen this thing.
Well,
like, you have to watch
it. I saw it when it came out. Like, it just, that resonated with me. Obviously, Mass Kids.
Yeah.
But, and it's just, that's just my kind of story. And then it was just like, it was on, and I was like, every time it was on, Kate used to be like, are you watching The Way, Way Back again? I'm like, it's fucking the best. I've turned so many people onto it because it's just a dope movie. And then we got a chance to talk a little bit on Best Bars, but especially getting Steve Carell to play a role that's nowhere near
such
Steve Carell.
Such a dick in the movie. His character.
Yes. It really, you know, it was a long journey. It was like an 8-year haul to get that thing made. And there was a lot of different directors on it and a lot of different, you know, momentum, and then it would just die, and then we finally got to the point where we're like, let's just do it ourselves. And
did you get that opportunity after the Oscar?
Yeah.
I think at that point do you
think you ever would have had that opportunity had the Oscar not come your way?
I don't know. It definitely provided us with some currency to like go out and make it, you know,
not to get in Madonna's party.
No,
but you could
could get another movie. It's funny because we wrote The Way, Way Back first, and then we wrote The Descendants, and then just ended up being The Descendants was the sort of thing that helped get The Way, Way Back made. So it was always like so very close to us and important, and we really wanted to do it. So that was like, you know, when people are like, what are you going to do next? And it was like, let's go make a tiny independent movie.
I just want to say that all I've ever wanted as a kid was to win an Oscar. Like, that's what I used to think of. I mean, it's obviously not in my forefront now.
Don't you dare say that.
But it would probably be the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I mean, just based off of how humble you are trying to get into that Madonna party with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I would be like? At, like, Subway waiting for... Can I go first? I got a fucking Oscar.
Go get the Oscar out of the car.
It's always close by. Oh, man.
In its own, like, perfectly zipped up bag, like Oscar bag that you had, like, tailor-made.
Of course. Leather.
Leather.
Kids won't go to bed. You won't go... Get the fucking Oscar.
Go get the Oscar.
So that's sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't do that, but I feel like there are some meetings that I'd like to do that.
I bet.
They're just people that are idiots.
But I mean, when you did the way, way back at that point, how soon after was it that you guys won the Oscar that people were like, fuck yeah, make this movie?
We did it. It was probably 2 years after we put it together. So it was an 8-year thing. But after the Oscar, definitely we invested our, sort of time and energy in putting that together. And Carell had originally said no. He said he wrote us a really nice letter and said, I loved the script, but if, I could potentially become this guy to my own family if I do this, because that's I usually take the summer and we go back to Marshfield in Mass. Mm-hmm. And
bought my first car there.
Nice.
Oh, he does that as well?
Yeah. So he was like, I would actually become this character if I took this part, because that's when I spend my family vacation and I just can't do it. And so we said, what if we shot the movie in Marshfield and you were on vacation and then just kind of walked over to work every day? And then he wrote back and was like, all right, that'll work.
I mean, wow. Come on.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, it was awesome. So,
how badass, dude.
Yeah, it was great.
For him, too. I mean, relaxing that work must have been for him.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that he's going right back to the kids are he probably go take lunch with the family.
Oh, yeah. His in-laws literally were two houses over. So he would literally walk over, and hang out. And
this is
awesome.
In no way any sort of comparison except for that sort of convenience. I worked on this shoot one time for these guys that owned
What was the shoot for?
It was for a Ferrari racing group. These guys were billionaires.
Trying to compare Ferrari.
They were billionaires. And I got hired to produce and direct a shoot for them. They wanted to create this Ferrari racing group show. And what they did was, in Italy, they actually have this, and they don't have it in the States. So they took their model, brought it here with their own money, and they would do 8 races a year in different locations around the United States. And I was in Jersey for this one, or maybe it was Pennsylvania. No, it was Jersey. And
they go to Milan, Paris, Jersey. They go
everywhere.
All the big
everywhere.
Places.
Everywhere.
Sick to get stuck in Jersey.
Morristown. No,
seriously.
Paris.
These guys, one of them was, he was a billionaire. He was 40 at the time. Good-looking dude. Made his money on two things, Katrina lawsuits and tobacco lawsuits.
Ooh.
And just was literally making a killing.
Wow.
And he owned...
Literally.
He owned a land speeder. From Star Wars.
Yeah.
He owned the original?
He owned it. And he would drive it in New Orleans on the street. So you'd pull up next to him, he'd drive that little fucking thing to work, that little Luke Skywalker
car. Had George Lucas
car.
In the passenger for the fucking
with
Oscar,
the R2-D2 in the back.
Nah.
He would have the little head, He had that. He had an R2-D2 and a C-3PO. And when the girls would come over, he would have remote control, and he'd have them, playfully lift up their dress and stuff. From his private jet, he would control the lighting in his home, the temperature in the pool, and program it so that by the time they landed, the place was set for party time.
Wow.
He had, remember when you were a kid, that Lamborghini as a Countach poster, the black one, angled with the doors up and all that?
Yeah,
he bought that car.
Wow.
It wasn't enough to have one like that. He hunted that one out and got that one. He had every Ferrari model from whatever year. Anyway, stupid money. But they had come to the racetrack, and I'm like, so where are you guys going next? And I was talking to one guy, where's your money come from? What do you do? Yeah. He's like, oh, man, my dad owns 14 skyscrapers in Manhattan. I'm like, Jesus Christ, owns the sky? He's like, yeah. He's like, we flew here. We landed at that little airport right out back there. And I'm like, so what are you doing when you leave here? He's like, oh, we're going to get in the private jet, fly back up to New York. We'll be there in a half hour. Kids will be swimming probably in about an hour and a half. I'm like, you motherfucker. Like, that's their life.
That's crazy.
Convenience is all I was getting at. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Made me think of that.
No.
Woo! Went a long way to get there, man.
I got nothing to add to that except that I would like to be there.
I would like to have been that guy.
Yeah. Except.
But Carell, so he comes over and does it with you guys.
Yeah.
What's the number he gave the kid? A 5? What was his rating?
Oh, 3.
Six, 3. Was 3. It that low?
Yeah, but that's a true story. That's a true story. That happened to my writing partner, that exact story, when he was a kid driving to Michigan. And his stepfather at the time asked him what he thought he was on a scale 1 to 10. And Jim said 6, thinking that was modest. And the guy said, no, I think you're three.
In all honesty, he is about a three.
I know. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's what I keep telling him. It's like, look, you're a five now, but you were a three then.
With the Oscar, you're a five.
You're a five, but you're a three now. So, like, quit feeling sorry for yourself.
Jesus.
Yeah. It is what it is, bud.
It's such a fun movie. The moment, too, that I really love is when you're holding them back at the top of the slide.
Oh, yeah.
Checking the chicks out, going down and stuff.
Still holding.
Still holding. It's such a good moment.
It's
that young kid with the older kid. You've got the acceptance. You're having fun. That always made me feel like I was part of the group when the older kids would acknowledge me and play along with me and shit. Such a great moment.
My cousin was a lot of that for me. Like, he was 2 years, or no, more than that, like maybe 3 or 4 years older than me, 4 years older than me. And he was always like the, you know, big idol kind of guy. And he would pick, you know, take me and bring me along with his buddies and stuff. And I remember we went vacation one time in, we went skiing in Sun Valley, Idaho. We did like a big family trip where both his family and my family, our moms are twin sisters. So we spent a lot of time together growing up. And we went out there, and he was like, come on, let's go, you know. And I was like just like I was like maybe 12, you know, or like it was just coming out of like it was turning into from boy into like slightly, but I hadn't really gone through puberty like entirely, you know, maybe just a little
late bloomer a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little late blooming. And and I remember he was like probably like, so he was probably 16 or something, you know, and we got these girls to come back to our, and we had somehow convinced our parents to have like a kid's condo and a grown-ups condo.
Oh my God. I mean, I think your cousin probably put that together.
Yeah. So then we got back to our kid's condo and we're sitting there with these two girls and we're like, this is awesome. And then we both start like making out with the girls, you know, and we're like, this is amazing, you know, and he goes sort of into his bedroom. Then I go into the bedroom.
He's 12.
But I was so not like ready for it.
Yeah.
And the girl was like, you know, probably 16 and wanted to like go. She wanted to go all the way. And I was like, no, 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 no.
Oh, man.
It was like, I'm not ready. Like, her hands keep going down towards, you know, my junk. And I was like, I'm not there yet. I'm only 12. It was terrible. It was like a traumatic, like.
And so what did she do?
She was sort of like, it was like the roles were reversed. Like, usually it's like the guy that's like trying to like, come on, I'm horny. I want to, you know, I'm like trying to feel the girl up. And she's like, don't, you know, and like pushing the hand away. Like, this was the opposite, where this girl was like ready to like bone down. And I was like, I don't have it. I'm hair on my penis. I don't have hair on my penis. That's not true.
You have a weird penis.
I have a weird penis.
I've heard about that.
I've heard you had a hairy penis.
No, it goes all the way up, but then it does stop right before the
right at the top. That's normal.
They call him Chewbacca.
I'm not ready.
At least you didn't mess it up for your cousin.
No, I know. He had no problems.
It's so funny that you say that, because you know, especially at that age, girls are not used. Girls are, I would say 9 times out of 10 are probably the ones that are like, no, 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 no,
right.
No, no. And the guy's like, okay, but they're trying and to flip it. So
I
remember we were in
terrifying.
10th grade and my friend's parents went away for the weekend, and his sister was 2 years older than us. Actually, we were freshmen, so she was a junior, and she had a ton of people come over and threw this big ass house party.
Yeah.
And we're just like these two little freshmen, and all these older kids we're seeing in the hallways at high school were coming. So they're acknowledging us. And this one girl liked her brother, and we both were like, you should totally, when, you know, go back in the room and everything, and when, as a joke though, when she goes to go down your pants, scream, I'm not ready for that. And he totally went along with it, and she freaked out. She didn't know how to respond. Like, she's never been in what guy is ever gonna fucking be like, nah,
I'm not ready.
Nah.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
So it was me.
We, as guys, we have used to hearing like, no, 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 no. And you're like, okay, I totally get it.
Yeah.
You're not ready yet.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with that, not only rejection, but then make her comfortable after that, because you can't just split and all that shit.
No.
And man, that girl just came out, and I go, what's the matter? And she's like, he just told me he wasn't ready. Like, she looked like a deer in the headlights. Yeah. Could not.
Right. I was like, I am. I'm ready right now.
She could not even process or deal or handle.
No.
It never happened to her.
It's an unlikely situation. Mm-hmm. But when you're small and
I'm just intermediate slopes.
I'm green.
I'm not ready for black diamonds.
So you wrote directed and starred. Is that right? For the Way, Way Back?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't know about starred. You were in it.
I was in it. I was in it. I was a supporting player.
Sam Rockwell, man.
Under five.
Just effed that movie up.
Yeah,
dude.
He's the best.
I didn't really know who he was before that, and then I just went back and was like, who is this guy?
Oh, my God. He's been in so many things.
Have you ever seen Safe Men?
No, I actually never saw Safe Men.
That's what turned me on to him, and I was like, who is this fucking guy? Because I knew who Steve Zahn was, but then to see him come in, I was like, God damn, this dude's killing it.
I know, he is absolutely
he's so good.
And he's the best guy. He's just...
How did you get him? Did you know him prior to that?
No, we didn't know him at all. It was sort of when we got the movie back, so there was a lot, like I said, there was a lot of different people doing it, and at one point, like, there was, a director that was going to do it, and we had to audition for ourselves, for our own roles.
We
had to audition.
You wrote it.
We wrote it, and this guy was going to direct it, and then we were like, we want to be in it in these tiny little parts. And he was like, awesome. We're having auditions next Friday.
This being said, you've done tons of acting work.
Yeah,
it's not like never acted.
Yes, exactly. So I was like freaking out and was like, oh, this is going to be... You know, this is terrible. Like, what if it would suck? And Jim was like, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
Did you even bring in sides?
I think I did.
Imagine to highlight it and shit.
Yeah, like, I remember writing this, but I'll still hold it. And Jim was sort of the one that was like, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Like, just relax. Like, this is like formality. We just have to say the thing so they don't think we're like idiots. And so I went in, and it was great, and it was fine. Everybody was like happy, and they were like, you know. Great. And
you got it, kid.
Jim, and then Jim went in, and I was like leaning and hearing through the door, and they were like putting him through the paces, and they were like, we think you're doing some sort of voice. Can you just be more you?
And who was he going for?
He was like in the movie, he plays
the guy working
the semi or whatever it is. He plays like the, you know, semi, the bald kind of like
the guy who works that little stand that no one comes over to.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
can't get water on my face or whatever that line was. Yeah, exactly. So random.
So he was sort of doing a character, and they were like, no, and they were having a lot of trouble with him and not doing it. He started flop sweating and came out of the room like so mortified. And I was like, I think I got my part, man. I think I got my part.
So sorry to hear you got cut
sorry
out.
Sorry to hear you
man.
Got, man.
For being a three, man.
Yeah.
For being a three.
That's what I told him.
That's what a three does.
I was like, now you're a two, you loser.
You had to audition for your own movie.
No, but so when we got it back, we were like, let's just, you know, make this movie. It had been so long, and we were like, screw it. Let's just put like great people in the movie instead of trying to overcomplicate this. Like, who do we love, you know? And people like Alice and Janney, and people like, you know, all these like character type actors that are fantastic that other actors want to work with. And Sam was always one of those guys. We were like, we, you know, huge fans of his. And so we like, it was one of the most, the best kind of non-Hollywood like moments where we wanted to get him in the movie. We called his agent, and she like read it really quick and was like awesome and gave it to Sam really quick. He read it like over a weekend, and then they called us and we're like, Sam, you know, wants to get on the phone. And we were like, oh, okay. So we were in the car, and we pulled over and we called him, and he was like, yeah, this is cool, man. Yeah. This is kind of like Bill Murray from Meatballs, right? Yeah. And we were like, yes, that's exactly like what we wrote. And he was like, yeah, it's cool. So are you guys going to like, you gonna do some improv and stuff? I think, you know, sure. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I dance a lot. You know, maybe there's a place I can dance in this movie.
Shut up,
totally. And he was like, cool. All right. Yeah. Well, all right, cool. Let's do it. You know, it was the coolest, like easiest. And then it was just like, get off the phone before he says no. You know?
Right.
And then he like was incredible. You know, it's like one of those things where you write something and then somebody just does, you know, what you had in mind, and then even more, and you're so thrilled, you know.
Was set like crazy loose and everyone just having a good time like a big family?
It was, although, you know, Jim and I were so stressed out.
So Jim was a bit of a problem?
He was a problem.
Fucking three.
He was a problem. He was so anxious and nervous, and we were both so anxious and nervous, and so his way to deal was to not eat anything, and then my was to overeat. So, like, he lost, like, 20 pounds, and I gained 20 pounds because I was, like, eating at craft service. Like, I don't know if this is funny. I don't know if it's working. I don't know. Do we have any more hard-boiled eggs?
Hard-boiled eggs. God, you don't even think of that, you know?
No. You were so stressed. I mean, we were so – it was really fun because we had, like, a great group and some people that were, like, old friends, like Maya was somebody that we had, you know, performed with in Groundlings with forever.
Yeah, she was
and
great.
So, like, people that you're very familiar with. But nonetheless, like, there's just a lot of pressure. People looking at you like – What color paint should that wall be? You know, like, what are they wearing the right thing? Do you like this hat? You know, like, what angle
and
do you want to shoot at?
And you're first-time director, so you
probably... Is this still the right light for this? And you're like, I have no clue. I don't know, you know? Yeah. But instead, you just have to be like, yeah, that's great. I love that paint color. I don't know. Ask
I'm going to go make myself throw up. Yeah. That's great.
Luckily, having two people does help because you can sort of be like, let me just do a sidebar with Jim real fast, yeah. And then I'll get back to you. I don't know what they want. I have no idea.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. It was really a special thing, but it was terrifying going through it. But in retrospect, it was like it's the best thing we ever did.
Yeah.
To do it ourselves.
Well, yeah, because I mean, The Descendants was but
that.
Yeah, it was very.
Yeah.
Good. Are you guys going to direct again, you think?
Yeah, we're trying, but it's like turning into another like 8-year journey. Like, yeah. It's so hard. It's
Can't
so hard.
Imagine.
We have like a lot of things that are, you know, in the process of happening or not happening, and they just kind of continue that way where it's like this one thing seems like it's getting momentum and then it sort of fizzles out and then you move to the next thing and that gets a little steam and then it fizzles out, and it's a lot of that kind of thing where you just it takes a lot for everything to kind of come together.
You think a lot of it's had trouble getting together just because of your checkered past?
I think because of my face mostly.
Yeah
people look at me and they're like, oof. That guy's a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You got that douchey vibe.
Yeah. It's the crooked teeth. It always puts people on edge. They get very uncomfortable.
They're like, why didn't he take care of those?
I know. It was so easy. You could have just gotten braces.
He had a good upbringing. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if you noticed. You still can't.
I don't think you can.
You can.
I don't think you can do adult braces.
I don't know if you can fix those.
I don't think you can do adult braces.
Just to show effort?
You get past like 17, I think you're done.
You got to go on inside.
Then you're just,
do
you
the
accept
inside
it.
Ones.
No.
They put them on the inside.
Would you never see Magnolia?
No, that's like a mouth guard, isn't it? It's like Invisalign or something. A lot of people do that.
Oh, you can get something like that. I don't know about for those.
No. I know. I was telling you, that's right. Like, I play hockey and wearing a mask, and it like people like look at me like, why are you wearing a mask, dude? Your teeth are already way fucked up.
Anything could improve them.
Like, they'll straighten them out.
Like, a puck in your face would be a blessing for you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah. But anyway, what it is, guys. I've embraced it.
No pun intended.
I did have a casting person once tell me, like, when I first moved out here, like, that fixing my teeth would, like, open up a lot more opportunities.
I think it's probably what's helped you along the way.
I think so, too.
Because you don't see people with jacked up teeth. Everyone's got to have this perfect... You want people with flaws. That's what
right.
The world's about.
Yeah.
Not in today's movie world. Everybody's perfect.
I know.
Yeah. Well, Jay mentioned your checkered past, and I was surprised to hear that you'd been arrested.
I have been arrested. I have.
Multiple times. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. My first time was stealing chicken. That's how I got arrested in Nantucket, Massachusetts.
How old?
I was there. I was probably 15, 16. And I was there for the summer. And me and my buddy had just finished, I think we were landscaping. And... or painting or something. Well, I forget what job we had. And we went into the A&P or the Stop and Shop, whatever it was. And we like shopped for like a full, you know, like week's worth of groceries. And they had this like insanely good fried chicken there, like at the deli, you know. And we're like, oh, I'm so hungry. Like, let's get a couple pieces of fried chicken. Wow. And we'll eat them while we shop. And then we were shopping and we like ate the chicken, and then we're like, what are we going to do with these, you know, bones or whatever? We'll throw them back in this bag, and then, I don't know, just put that bag behind that cereal or whatever. Who cares? And then little did we know there was like a bakery guy that was like at the end of the aisle, like just like eyeing us. And so we went to pay for like $150 worth of groceries, and then the clerk looked at us and goes, where's the chicken, guys? Where's the chicken? And we were like, what? And then they fucking called the cops. And
why not just charge you for it?
I know. We were like, oh, you know what? We forgot, you know.
We forgot it behind the fourth row of cereal in aisle 6.
Look behind the Lucky Charms.
And then the bakery dude came up and was like, yep, these are the two guys. And then the cop came
in. Yeah, you with the teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
the worst was the cop had a lazy eye, and so it was like one of those terrible things. And then they led us up to the second story of like a supermarket, which is a place that you never want to go in your life, you know? And they sat us down and they were like, you are getting arrested for like basically like shoplifting kind of, or like stealing, or I don't even know what the charge was, but it was like not paying for chicken. And they let us out of the grocery store in handcuffs.
No way. They really cuffed you?
And we were like, all
what
our friends and
with
family,
all your groceries?
Everybody was like,
milk
what the
fuck right now? It's
like,
boiling. It's just
and
spoiling.
We were like, we just paid for $150 worth of shit.
Come on.
What are you talking about, you know? And so we ended up having to,
they gave
us like
you
a court
out where?
Date.
You out to a they, car, did they take you away? Or
they
what
no, we got to the parking lot and they basically said, like, here's your court date, show up. And it was like in December. And we're like, I'm not going to be here in December. I'm going to be in school. Or
can't
whatever.
Make that commute, man.
Yeah. So we went to the courthouse and then basically negotiated like 2 days. They gave us 16 hours of community service to do. So we had to wash fire trucks. No, we had to wash fire trucks. So,
hey,
like,
that's
all
not
our
easy.
Friends, like, going to the beach and, like, laughing at us as we're, like, you know.
And it's Nantucket. How many fire trucks are in Nantucket? Like, four? How many times are we going to wash these things?
Honestly, by the end of, like, the first, like, 4 hours, they were like, I don't know, guys. Just fucking look busy. I don't know what to tell you.
Slide up and down that pole or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, go fucking Yankee chain for a second. I don't know what to tell you, kid.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, that was the first time I got arrested. And then I got arrested again for something. I forget what it was.
Utah.
For real?
Yeah, I forget what...
Short-term memory loss, man.
I know, man.
From all that weed.
From all the weed.
Man. So much weed.
Utah weed.
Oh, Utah weed.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what I was trying... I thought God. You got it when you started.
I literally didn't. I was like looking at you like, wait, what again? Yeah, the weed... I got pulled over in Utah with my other buddy.
How old are you at this time?
I was in college, and I was... My parents had moved from Massachusetts to Pasadena, California for like a 6 year stint.
Where after. Are they now?
They're back in Boston, but they were there for like 6 years. My dad is a doctor and he got a job at like USC County Hospital. And so they were here for like 6 years. So after I graduated high school, they moved. And in college, I would like do a lot of road trips back and forth, like driving across the country. And one Christmas break, I drove back and was with another buddy, and we were both like long hair, like, you know, your typical like college, you know, burnouts, like listening to Fish and the Dead and just driving across the country, you know. And we got pulled over in Utah. My buddy was driving and he got pulled over, and this is like December 24th, and we were like trying to hustle to get
call
to
that Christmas
California.
Eve.
Christmas Eve, yep. Yeah. Yep. And that's what they that is what they
that's
call
what,
it.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
I mean, not everybody, but
that's so cool. I never thought yeah, and so he was hauling and I was asleep and we got pulled over and I woke up to like a cop knocking.
Chicken flashbacks all over the place.
Yeah. And this guy was like he said, "Can I have your license, please?" And then he said, "I smell marijuana on your license. Could you please step
on the license?"
On the license. And we were like, "What?"
Well, we were breaking it up with it, man.
We were parting the seeds out with this, man.
And so he pulled us out of the car and was like, and then like, you know, that terrible thing where like five more state trooper cars like pull up.
That's
know?
When you know you're,
and
by
you're
the way,
like,
I was told that too. Like if another one pulls up,
oh,
then you're definitely going.
Oh yeah. We were dead in the water. I mean, we were so fucked. And we sat there and we did have weed and it was in a ski bag and I didn't know. I felt like this was like, you know, it was just a matter of time. But they took, I mean, it was like going on an hour, and they had torn the whole car apart and they could not find it. And then you could
how
tell.
How much do you remember how
getting,
much you had?
Not very much because it was the end of the trip. Like we had gone from New York
it's
to California.
Not like
California.
You had ounces of marijuana.
No, we had like a tiny little pipe and then like a little bit of like, you know, corner bag or something.
Was like their like radio keep going off like, yeah, stolen chicken, 16 years old.
It definitely ran that shit.
It definitely
I'm sure
ran.
They did,
yeah. see if we can get the guy with the lazy eye on the phone.
Just got the lazy eye? Yeah, we got the guy with the teeth again.
Put the baker on the phone. Sure.
Are you wearing a mask in hockey? That doesn't make any sense.
Grab him.
Yeah, so they finally were getting so pissed off because they couldn't find it, and they knew it was in there. And then they finally...
Dogs? They had dogs or no
No,
dogs?
They didn't have any dogs, but they had like, you know, six...
Couple cats they had working there.
We were in, drug cats. We were in Beaver County, Utah, and they do not mess around in Beaver County.
I can't even imagine, because that's no. That state is like dry. Like yeah. You can't buy stuff, right?
No, that's not... There's no joking there. So they came to the back of the car where we were like sitting on the bumper, and they were like, listen, we know you have weed in that car. If you tell us where it is, you'll just get a ticket and you'll be on your way for Christmas. If you don't tell us and we find it, you're going to jail. And my buddy was like, it's right under the ski bag.
Oh, no.
And I was like, nah. And so we got like this huge fine. But like they let us go.
How much? Do you remember?
At the time, it was seemed enormous.
A couple grand?
But I think, no, I don't even think it was that much. I think it was like $1,000.
That's a lot.
But when you're in college, that felt like, you know, that was
crippling.
Yeah. So they let us go, but we did get like letters in the mail. I remember my mother being like, "What? Why are you getting this from Utah?" And it says something about like
marijuana.
And I was like, "Yeah, don't worry about it."
Cousin Rich gave it to me.
It was my cousin. Yeah. It was. Those were both traumatic getting arrested stories, but
the chicken. Do you still to this day, if you go grocery shopping, do you grab something to eat while you go around?
No, I don't because of that, unless it's like free, like in one of those like weird plastic shells.
Yeah.
You know?
I always like to grab something.
I do all the time.
But do not throw away. You got to pay.
I don't hide it behind the cereal.
You got to pay.
What's your go to?
It depends. I like bulk items. I go over there and get a couple yogurt pretzels and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then you start eating one of those? Mm-hmm. Oh, but so it's something that you're going to buy.
No. I see that.
No, I just go over and grab a handful of myself and eat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're one of those.
Out of the thing? Out of the bulk barrels.
Oh, yeah. I've seen like homeless people do that.
But there are also times, too, where I go in and I get like a bag of whatever, M&Ms, and I'll eat them. And then when I go up, I put the wrapper on the thing.
Gotcha.
But there's other times.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it is stealing.
I'm a donut guy over at Vaughn's. You grab one because you go right in and get
out of their bakery or like a Vandy Camp's.
Vandy Camp's fish. Is it Vandy Camp's fish?
What is it then?
No, out of their from the bakery section.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab a honey dip.
They have Vandy Camp's out here. Bread and all that shit, man. What are you talking about?
I didn't know Vandy Camp's. I just always thought Vandy Camp's were like fish sticks or something.
I'm going to look it up, man.
Vandy Camp. I do think you're right. I think you're both right.
It's not possible, man. Maybe they're
bread and fish sticks.
I'd help Jay find fish sticks at the grocery store one night. He got all upset. He was flexing on me. He's like, I've been everywhere. There's a freezer by the fucking seafood section. It's probably over there. It's right where it was.
The sun loves them, crushes it.
What's your go-to?
They're Gordon's, man.
Gordon's.
You know where those are from.
Fuck yeah.
I never forget the first time I took my wife to Mass, to Gloucester, and we see the Gordon's fisherman. She goes, oh, my God. I go, what? She goes, that's a Gordon's fisherman. I go, yeah. She's like, as kids, we always just hit. I'm like, oh, my God, dial it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's a real dude dressed up out there or no?
No, it's just like a statue.
I don't know if they had a fucking mascot, man. I feel like they could at this point.
It's a big wheel, you know, and he's
G-O-R-D-O-N.
pushing it.
Someone just throwing buckets of water at his face all day long.
Yeah, the guys from that new dog movie.
Not cool, bro.
Out there with the water, man.
You don't pee to after you either.
No, they're not coming after me.
They might.
Maybe Vandy Camp's pee to bread section.
Maybe we'll get some free fish sticks out of this thing.
I know. I love fish sticks.
Man, I do too. A little
I like fish sticks too. I don't know
about
that.
Do you get a
fillet
of fish at McDonald's?
No, you know what? I've never in my life had a fillet of fish from McDonald's.
Kid fucks up the McRib, but.
Never that. I actually have had a McRib or two just to see what that was all. But the fish, now. It's big on Friday, you know, during Lent. They pump that fish sandwich like a motherfucker. It's a 99-cent sandwich on Fridays.
Two for $2 kind of thing.
People don't believe me that back east during the summer they do lobster rolls at McDonald's.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down right now because when I was just back in, when we just finished our tour, our last stop was Baltimore, which is where I'm from. And they were telling me that the Arby's there has venison. I couldn't get over that.
Wow.
Deer.
Wow.
At the Arby's. I couldn't get it. I'm like, are you guys fucking with me? But everyone kept telling me that. I'm like, I'm not trying.
I don't know
that.
If I'd order that.
No, not fast food deer.
I don't think so.
No. Not fast food deer.
What, you think they're going to fuck up a deer, but they can't? A cow's no big deal?
That's exactly what I think, yes.
I don't know. There is something. It's like going up to the counter and being like, can I get like a half a pound deer with extra sauce? I don't know. It just doesn't sound right.
You get that half pounder. It's a big sandwich, man.
That is a big sandwich.
So you mentioned driving across the country and all that, and some music and stuff. Were you a big in the mute? Did you go to concerts and did you make trips?
What'd you
to
play?
Go to concerts?
What was your instrument?
When I drove across country, I would sometimes like go when a band was also going to like break up the trip and then like see them, and it was during that same period, so it was usually like Grateful Dead, kind of, you know, Fish, you know, that kind of situation, and I didn't play an instrument, but I did want to. I mean, I definitely, like, there was definitely, like, frisbees and banjos in the back of my car.
Banjo.
Big hacky sacking over here, man.
Oh, man. We would crush the hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then we would sell, like, food in the parking lot.
No, you know? Didn't.
Oh, like, grilled cheeses and
fried chicken, man. This guy's
fried
known
chicken.
For it.
My buddy would sell fruit kebabs.
Fruit kebabs.
I see cold fruit kebabs.
Is that real?
Yeah, that is real.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. Like, not a big seller, the icy cold fruit kebab. But you could make a killing off the grilled cheese if you do it with a little Coleman stove. Yeah.
Well, weren't you doing jewelry and stuff like that, too?
I wish.
You're over there. You're piercing, you said.
I was. Yes, I was. I was in a Fish concert in, I don't know, I want to say like Portchester, New York or something. And this girl was in front of me, and she turned to me, and she was sort of like punkish and was like, "Hey, I have something weird to ask you, but I get a piercing every concert I go to. Will you pierce my lap?" And I was like, "What?"
First of all, how many concerts has she been to that lip was still on the list?
Right, I know. Lip was available. I mean, ear, nose, like all, they were all taken, but lip was available. And so I was like, "Yeah, I'll pierce the hell out of that thing." And
I just had like five fruit kebabs. I'm racing. I'll do whatever.
I'm on a sugar high right now, goddamn.
Yeah, I had to crush it. That pineapple just jacks you up. You know, and so she handed me one of those like staple removers with like the two prongs.
Yeah. That's what she fucking gave.
That's what she gave me, and she was like, and she pulled out her lip and was like, "Okay, wait, hold on." And I was like, "What is happening?
Are you trying to just get like the top one top and one bottom, or are you double dipping on?"
No,
that thing?
I'm basically trying to get her lip in between the two teeth so that only one goes through, as opposed to like a, you know, snake bite. And
snake bite.
That's exactly a great call. Exactly what it looks like.
So I did it.
How hard did you have to fucking push?
And so I did it, and I didn't go hard enough. Oh, and it was just like, and it like didn't connect. And she was like, "Oh!" It was like I just like fucking shot a moose. Like, she was screaming, and there was blood. And I was like, "Whoa." And of course, I was like, kind of fucked up, so I'm like, "Whoa, what's going on?" All tripped out. And she's like, it didn't go there. And she starts like bleeding, and her friend is all freaking out, and I was like, "I'm gonna just keep dancing." Sorry. And then like half an hour later, she turns around, she's like, will you try it again?"
Are you serious?
Yes. And this time I was like, "All right, I'm not messing it up this
you
time."
Fuck, I was
like,
hoping
come over here, lay down, let me step on this motherfucker.
And I did. I like, I scrunched it, and it went through. And she put like a stud in it or something.
Oh.
And then like the whole time I'm like obsessively like just watching her like react to this.
Out. Oh, and all the blood loss.
And she's just like sitting there like thumbs up, like holding her lip, like, "Thank you so much. Such a good show, right?" It's like, oh my God. It was awesome. Not as awesome was my buddy who got really fucked up and couldn't make it to the bathroom, so just started pissing next to me while dancing.
That move.
Yeah, that move of like, I like was like, "Whoa, what's happening?" And then I look down and I see him just like standing there, just like all passed out, like literally pissing on my leg. In my, like, while we were standing in our seats. I was like, I'll never forgive that guy.
I just want to go back to this chick for a second. If you know you want to get a peer, like, did she just...
Yeah.
Did she bring the staple remover?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was her first
no,
choice.
It was all like premeditated.
But why wouldn't you bring something? I don't know
what
what's better.
Bring,
I don't know.
A needle.
I'm thinking.
Just a needle. Push right through and then clip the thing.
I
mean, that would be better than a staple remover.
Yeah, but I mean, what kind of needle are you talking?
like a sewing needle, something thick. But who at that? Listen, if
that's
you're
gonna have to be a big sewing.
If
needle.
If your choices are a staple remover or a needle, who I would gives take a fuck needle. What kind of needle it is? I'd take needle too.
And
I'd
need to. I'd
take a crochet pen for all that
so
matter.
Brutal.
Yeah, you would.
Crochet pen would be tough.
She
getting
fucking
through.
Probably was on plenty of shit.
Oh, so bad. I mean, and the needle might get caught at the door with a needle. You know,
staple remover. Like she's doing her taxes. Yeah. Give her some room, will you?
She's going to see fish.
She's doing her taxes. She's collating in there. God, give her some room. Everybody's got to keep a
spread
living out
Spread out,
here.
Guys. Spread out.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, terrible.
Can I plug in this electric pencil sharpener somewhere? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, terrible. Yeah. Do you know how I fucked up my teeth, by the way?
Oh, this isn't natural?
Oh, I thought this was birth.
Oh, no.
I mean, those
no.
are big teeth, too.
These are big teeth. Well, that is true. I was in a car accident when I was a kid, like 4 or 5 years old, with my sister. We were both in the front seat without a seatbelt.
Oh.
And my mom was driving. And
every time you smile at your mom, she should yeah, fucking
that's why
that.
She's probably anti-weed. She's probably baked out of her mind that day.
We head-on like collided with a guy coming down our driveway, and I just like hit the dashboard.
What do you mean coming down your driveway?
We lived like up in the woods, and it was like a long like kind of weaving driveway. And so like we were going up the hill, and he came down around a corner, and we just like, you know, slammed into each other, and I went teeth first into the dashboard and like smashed my...
Really?
Smashed my... Yeah, so then I had fake teeth for a while.
So those were baby teeth?
Those were baby
up?
Teeth, and then I had fake teeth for a while, and then when I was...
So they got knocked out?
They got knocked out, yeah. Like, whole front rack was
Jesus
gone.
Jesus Christ.
And so they gave me false teeth for a while.
Why?
I don't really know why, because I think because they all like got knocked out, and I had like gums, so they were like, we'll give you false teeth until you're... Real teeth come in?
5 years old, just fucking like full adult
partial,
fake teeth.
Partial people plates like, over here.
This guy looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
And is he going to a car dealership? Who is he?
And they were huge, too. So this is like,
weird suits.
Hey.
It's John Elway's boy right here.
Yeah. And then we lived on this, like I said, this long driveway going up this hill and in the woods. And my sister and I would play this game where we would like grab leaves out the window. And we would, like, by the time we got to the top of that, you know, driveway, I mean, up to the house, you know, I'd be like, oh, here's my leaf, you know, mm-hmm. is yours bigger than mine kind of thing. And then one day we were going up, and I reached out to grab a leaf, but I like, grabbed, like, more branch than leaf. And I flew out the window.
Come on, it pulled you out?
Pulled me out of the back seat.
Holy shit.
And, again, teeth first onto the pavement.
Oh.
And then my mother was like, yeah, the fake teeth. And my mom, like, turned around and was like, what the fuck? Like, pulled over. And I was like laying there, like oh, and my fake teeth were like pointing up, like diagonally
oh
toward the sky.
Considering all that, I gotta say your teeth actually look pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
you're
God
destined to that, man.
The dentist we had to meet the dentist director. Like in a parking lot and like have him like with like
he's
a wrench.
Jesus
be like,
Christ.
Get my staple remover. Yeah, get in.
Yeah, and
holy
then finally these
shit.
Teeth came in. So by the time these teeth came in, I was like, fuck the dentist.
Yeah.
I stay away from any of those people ever again.
God,
so
damn,
many like
dude.
Traumatic moments.
Yeah, it was their bad. Do you understand? At what point did your mom think maybe a seatbelt would be a good idea? He gets yanked out of a window. She didn't even notice.
Safety fuck. Third, guys.
Safety third.
Yeah. No.
What was that car?
That was not a concern. We had a Toyota. And then we had a Jeep Cherokee. Jeep, a Grand Wagoneer.
Oh,
the wood paneling like, on
yeah,
the side.
Yeah,
oh, dude, I'm always looking those up on Craigslist.
Yeah, I know.
At least once a week.
Why don't they make that car anymore?
They don't, but if you want to buy it mint, it's fucking
you know
pricey.
Why? Because kids can fucking be pulled out of it way too easily.
I know,
that's
I
why.
Know. But like the bench window. Seats where it's just like yeah, there's man. No, or the front seat where there's no like delineation between, you know, passenger. And
my neighbor has
like
a 1960 Grand Wagoneer. It's
in oh, great condition.
Oh, yeah. He bought it from some dude in Oregon. He bought it with like 26,000 miles on it.
Really?
Yeah, it's all white. It's pretty choice.
Yeah, why not? I don't understand why like Jeep doesn't make those cars anymore. They should just go
I wouldn't be surprised. Broncos, Ford's doing the old Bronco, bringing that back.
Are?
That thing looks badass.
Why don't they
The two-door
do that more
Bronco,
often?
The OJ
yeah,
Bronco.
The old, yeah.
Yes, it looks badass. I'll bet you that comes back.
Not the Bronco 2? Remember
no,
the Bronco 2
my buddy
with the
had
guy
a,
in the back, right?
And it was
north.
A Philadelphia oh, yeah. Flyer version they had, too. Everything about it was I don't know why. We only ever saw one other one, and it was Philadelphia Flyers on the back of the trailer or the spare tire cover and all that shit.
Okay.
Spare tire!
I've been researching cars because I want to buy an old car, so I'm always looking and looking. Yeah. Do you know that Chrysler made a Maserati made a Chrysler with Chrysler? It's this two-door. It looks like a Chrysler, but Maserati symbol on it and stuff, and it's the weirdest car. It's like 1977 or 78.
Really?
Maserati Chrysler. You should see this thing.
I didn't know
that. Yeah.
Does it look more like a Maserati or more like a Chrysler?
I mean, honestly, it's like a split down the middle.
Really?
You're like, it's a horrible looking car.
Oh, you should get one.
I was debating, just talking like, yeah, I got a Maserati, man.
Isn't
that a Chrysler?
Nah, man. Maserati.
They didn't have a clever name for it.
It's the Maserysler.
That's what I was going for, but I couldn't put it together in my mouth.
Yeah, I was trying. I still don't know if I liked it.
We're almost there, man. I want to hear this story about you guys almost killing this kid.
Oh, yeah. On the boat.
On the boat, man.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I love when it registers.
When it kicks in, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is another Nantucket grown-up story. And we would, you know, somebody's, you know, one friend's dad would have like a little, you know, 18-foot Mako or something like that, or like, you know, a boat that you could take around the inner harbor. And so we were, you know, 16 and idiots. So we would like bring a cooler full of beer out there and get all, you know, have beers and drive around like total idiots. And we would, you know, you could tube a lot in the inner harbor and stuff. And so we did, I think we had broken the last tube. So we went to the supermarket to buy a different one. But like all they had were those like little like dinky, like dinghies, like little rafts ones that you like blow
above ground pool raft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they had one of those. So we blew it up and then it had this little like rope around the edge of it so that you could sort of like tie it up to your, you know, whatever pool.
Or neck.
So
like
we,
that's the type of raft that would say this is not a
intended
a life saving device or some shit
exactly.
Like that.
So we decided to put our.
It was right there next to the fucking Lucky Charms and the chicken bones, right?
Right.
Yeah, right
exactly.
There in the grocery store.
Yeah. No, I wasn't allowed back there, so I had to go to, that's why we had to go to the more ghetto supermarket.
You had to go out of the way.
Yeah, we had to go to like the Cumbie Farms or something.
Cumbies
to get the, you know, the inflatable raft. So we. We went out there and we were, you know, all wasted. And we put a buddy of ours, or this actually was a buddy of ours' cousin who we didn't know that well. And he was like, I'll take a turn. And so we're like, cool. So we put him in the little thing. And then we tied the little handle, the plastic handle on the front of the raft, we had tied the tow rope to, but it had broken like on the last run or something. So we're like, oh, how are we going to, what are we going to tie it to? And we're like, oh, we'll tie it to the little rope that goes around the whole dinghy. So we tied it to the little rope and then we just like, you know, sent him out there and then we gunned it and we start going. Then immediately, like, he submarines and the whole raft and body goes underneath and he's sitting on it like, he's sitting with his feet out front and he's sitting down like upright. And then we start gunning it and the whole thing submarines and goes underwater. And we're like, whoa, where'd he go? What happened? I don't know. I don't think it worked. But we did not slow the boat down. We just kept going, you know, like, and we were doing like circles around, like trying to find out where
he's under the whole time.
He got pulled under the little rope, basically busted off of its, you know, like thin little plastic like holders and went around his body. And we were basically dragging him around the inner harbor.
His coffin.
Underwater with this rope around him. And he was like, and we were like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? I don't know. Check over there.
Oh my God.
Full on gassing it everywhere. And finally, he popped up out of the water and was like, "Gah!" And like screamed bloody murder.
Jesus.
And we were like, whoa,
there he is.
We found him. And so we like go over to him and the whole rope had like come over his body. And like then as we were continuing to go, like basically like enveloped and like went through like all the way around his body and pulled so tight that it like went over his body and then finally like shot off of his toes.
Oh.
And he like was able to like come up for air and we pulled him onto the boat like when we got to him and his body looked like he had been like
whipped.
I was gonna say rope burn everywhere. Oh,
it was the most disgusting and the scariest thing I've ever seen. Like
you didn't have to get off this boat, man. I can't look at you.
Honestly, we were like, leave him in the water. Leave him in.
Like, oh.
Let him die.
Yeah.
He was so mangled, and he was like, and it looked like that girl's mouth when I fucking tried to pierce it. I mean, it was bloody and raw, and like all of his skin. It looked like his skin was like peeling off his body. It was so disgusting. And we were like, oh, man, we're so sorry.
How long do you think he was
under?
You
pass me a beer, though? Long enough that I thought, like, after I knew what had happened, like, I was surprised that he was, like, he was still alive.
Yeah.
We were cruising around that harbor for a while, not knowing where he went and, like, not knowing what had happened to him.
Poor
kids under there just trying to get loose.
Oh, my God. And it wasn't even, like, that was the hard part. It wasn't even, like, your buddy. You know, it was, like, your buddy's, like, a cousin who was up for the weekend kind of thing that just.
He gets back to us, like, what did they do to you?
It was so brutal. I almost threw up looking at that guy's body.
All right, who's up next?
Yeah. Okay, guys, I guess we can't tie it to the rope.
Just hold on to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give you gloves.
Yeah, there was a lot of stupid, debaucherous things in the summer that you know. I look back now thinking, like, I don't know how I survived a lot.
All
of
us.
Yeah.
We talk about all, like, you people come on and tell these stories. We're like, how does anyone in the world make it past like 17?
I know.
I can't even believe
just
all of
really
us are alive.
Really stupid stuff. And like, stuff now, like the seatbelt thing, where like that was not even a concern. Like, we would drive out to these beach parties and have like 20 people in a car, like in like one of those CJ7s, like hanging off the edge, you know, and just
riding
going
around
over,
in
like,
the back of a pickup truck and shit.
Yeah,
just
and
crazy.
Like, your 14-year-old friend like borrowing your, you know, like stealing your parents' car to like go to a party, like such stupid stuff.
We would do that out to Wingersheek. That's where we would go.
Yeah.
So we drive out to Wingersheek, four cars, and we would keep taking the breakdown lane to like take over first. Yes. Who's got first?
Yeah. Like racing.
Stupid. Yeah. And my mom's Ford Tempo.
Oh yeah.
Crushing it, man.
Sue had the Ford Tempo?
She did.
Man, how many
two of them back to back.
How many girls you slay in the back of that Tempo, bro?
Oh, shit. Not as many as I used to. No.
He's looking off the
But
side.
I remember one time my soccer coach used to let me take his car. And he had this old beater Escort, and I hit black ice in the thing, and I skidded all the way down a hill in our street and then bounced off a curb and broke the whole front axle on his car.
No way.
Yeah, and I had to, like, call him, like, hey, man, you know, like, I broke the Escort. And he's like, what are you talking about? What happened? I'm like, I hit black. Like, he didn't believe me. He was like, no fucking way. Will you drink? I'm like, no.
Did you lend him the Tempo?
My mom will give you a Tempo.
Listen, man, mom says you take the Tempo.
I was up at Big Bear one time. I had a Jeep Cherokee, and they just had a bad ice storm.
Yeah.
And we were parked on a hill. And once the road froze over, the car just – we were in the car trying to go – I don't know what we were going to do, get groceries, beer, whatever. But it just started sliding uncontrollably down the hill. And
had you started it?
Yeah. We started. We pulled down the driveway, and then we just started to inch – and boom, as soon as we hit the crest of that hill, it just started turning sideways and going. And I was with a girl at the time. She's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, we're jumping out. She's like, what? We're not flying at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're jumping out, and we're just going to let – because it's going down the hill no matter what. Why be in the fucking thing when it's going to hit something? I know it's going to hit something.
Yeah,
because you're so used to jumping out of moving cars.
Well, I mean, it was sliding at like 5 miles an hour at that point, but it was about to go down the fucking hill. And I was like, why be in here? I can't control it. You know, there's no pulling this out. And
he told her that later too.
She would not hop out. Yeah, she wouldn't get out. I was like, get the fuck. I've walked around that side. I'm like, get out. And she gets out. It just slides down the hill. And it's hauling ass at this point. And it just misses this parked car on the side. And then some dude with, you know, the city or whatever sees it. And I get lucky, and it slides all the way to the bottom of the hill. And then he tows us back up, and he's like, you're stuck here for, you know, till this shit melts. Because we couldn't leave to
first
get chains.
That's
we couldn't
go
anywhere.
That's the best thing that could ever happen to you.
It was great.
Getting trapped in a cabin at Big Bear with a fresh set of groceries. Yeah. You got towed back up the hill.
Well, we didn't get there. We were going to get them, man.
Free fried chicken, y'all!
Yeah.
Dude, this has been so much fun,
this
man.
This hasn't been too bad, man.
This has been all right. For an Oscar award winner.
Okay, good.
Because you know.
I had a great time.
Guys. Oh, no. We had
this
a blast.
Was so much fun, man. Will you one more time, please, your Twitter, whatever you want to promote, please.
Oh, yeah. At Nat Faxon, I think is my thing.
Yeah,
that's my handle.
That's your handle.
The show coming out, college friends
from
friends.
Friends from college,
which is about a family in the Midwest, which will be cool.
Yeah, very fun cast: Keegan Michael Key, Kobe Smulders, Fred Savage, Annie Parisi, J.C. Park.
That's a fucking great, that crazy great, cast.
That's great.
All star.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Always check out The Descendants and The Way, Way Back and hopefully some other
hopefully this
projects
that
may or may not go. But if they don't, you know, you're still a success. You know, don't let that be a thing that's going to deter you from being who you are.
We produced this movie that just sold at Sundance, so look out for that, called Thoroughbred. This guy, Corey Finley, wrote and directed. Very good film.
It's about dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Congrats on that.
Thanks, man.
Just throws that in fucking nonchalant
right there at the
fucking Oscar winner.
Yeah, man.
Great to have you on. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.